Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 14, the verses 13 to 33, and our text is specifically on the verses 30 to 31. So if we'll turn to that in our pew Bibles. Matthew 14. Beginning at verse 13, hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. When the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up the 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So far, our scripture reading. The sermon this morning is one prepared by Reverend Jack Mooster, retired minister of Canadian Reformed Church in Owen Sound. Congregation, loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, last time I was here, we paid attention to the great faith that was exemplified by the Roman centurion in Capernaum, whose servant Jesus healed. Faith that showed itself in great compassion, in deep humility, and in wonderful confidence in Jesus. Faith like that is something that we should pray for. But maybe you thought after that sermon, "I don't think I'll ever be able to have faith like that, great faith like that. Sometimes I may think that my faith is substantial, but then something happens, and I struggle with uncertainty and with doubts. I all too often have little faith instead of great faith." Something like the disciple Peter in the part of Matthew 4, which we just read together. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he wanted to walk out on the sea to him. You'd say he had pretty big faith at that moment. However, when he heard the wind and he looked down and saw the heaving waves underneath his feet, he began to sink. To sink in doubt and in that sea. And then Jesus reached out to him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And maybe at times, maybe often, we see ourselves more in Peter. Gaurish, I preached to you the text with this theme. What we learn about the faith in the passage about Peter wanting to walk to Jesus on the water. Three things. Firstly, faith in Jesus. Second, Peter's little faith. And third, what we learn from this. The section of Matthew 14 in which we find our text is about the storm on the Sea of Galilee, which took place right after Jesus' miraculous feeding of the 5,000. Jesus amazingly fully fed that great crowd of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What great power the Lord Jesus had to be able to do that. After that, Jesus sent his disciples out onto the sea to the other side of the Sea of Galilee in a boat while he went up the mountain to pray by himself. Later that evening, a vicious storm came upon the sea. The waves and the wind were almost too much for his disciples. They were afraid. And you can imagine that they became even more terrified when they saw a figure walking towards them through the wind and the waves. But then they heard Jesus' voice telling them that it was him. They didn't need to be afraid. Congregation, when the disciples heard Jesus' voice, they knew it was him. And Peter immediately wanted to go to him. In spite of the storm, the wind, and the waves, because he believed that with Jesus, there is life. In Jesus, there is peace with God through forgiveness and renewal. So, he longed to be with Jesus. And that's a feature of a life of faith. Wanting to be with Jesus. Today, that means prayer or in worship. People who believe that Jesus is life will want to be where he is, where he's close by, where he hears prayer, where he speaks in the word, where he gives himself in the Lord's Supper. Faith always, always loves to be with Jesus. And faith longs to be with him forever, at death or when he comes again in glory. That longing may at times be strong, and at other times, it might be weak. But faith embraces Jesus. It wants to be with him. Faith knows that he is life, and that it's better to be with him than it is to be anywhere else. And there's something else about faith that we also see in this passage. Peter stepped out of the boat when Jesus said to him, "Come." Peter asked Jesus to command him to come to him. But when Jesus commanded him, he came. Then he knew that he was only doing what Jesus said. The fact that he ended up walking on water was because Jesus had commanded him to come to him. And that's what faith is about too. You don't just want to decide anything or to do anything unless you know that it's something that comes from Jesus and that he approves of. You only want to do what is agreeable to Jesus. You only want to go where Jesus approves of. The choices that you make in your life, your relationships, your education, your work, what you do with your free time, the tasks that you take on, all of your choices, you first must ask, will Jesus approve of this? You only want to go and do what Jesus would agree with. Otherwise, you don't want to go and do this or that. That's faith, congregation. The faith Peter showed when he wanted to be with Jesus. Faith wants to be close to Jesus, and faith wants to follow Jesus' direction. That's again because faith sees Jesus as life, the food and drink of true life. As the founder and perfecter of faith who endured the cross for you, despising the shame and is seated at the right hand in glory, wanting you with him. And that faith is then what decides between eternal salvation and eternal condemnation. Whoever believes in Jesus has life. Whoever does not believe in him, God's wrath remains on him. Faith decides our everlasting future. And you might think now, I need to come up with that faith by myself. But that's not the case. You can't. We can't overcome our doubts and our temptations by ourselves. But notice, congregation, that when Jesus had sent his disciples out on the sea in the boat before that, he himself went up on the mountain to pray. That's already a foreshadowing of our Lord Jesus interceding for his elect, for those whom the Father gave him. As it says in the Bible, he ascended into heaven, and there he lives, always to intercede for his saints. He intercedes. He prays to the Father that those who have been brought to faith may be kept in their faith in all circumstances in life, especially trials. That's also what we confess in the last chapter of the Canons of Dort about the perseverance of the saints. We confess there that the saints can fall deeply, so deeply that at times they lose the sense of God's favor. But then we also confess in Article 8 that saints cannot totally fall away from their faith and grace and be lost, because God's counsel cannot be changed and the merit, intercession, and preservation of Christ cannot be nullified. And then later on, we confess, Article 11, that though believers in this life have to struggle with various doubts of the flesh and are under severe temptation, don't always feel assured of that perseverance, God will then not let them be tempted beyond their strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape, and by the Holy Spirit will revive them in the certainty of their perseverance. On that mountain, Jesus was interceding for his disciples out in the storm, in a severe test of faith. And for Peter also, who he foreknew would be dealing with doubts of the flesh, what a wonderful thing to hold fast to find comfort in. That when we have our struggles and doubts, our exalted Savior is praying for us at God's right hand. Father, don't let him or her be overcome by doubts or temptations, but revive them in the certainty of their faith again. So, we fight the fight of faith, but at the same time, can pray that the Lord will keep us in faith through our trials and our temptations. We come to the second point of the sermon, Peter's little faith. Congregation, Peter had much faith in Jesus, which is why he wanted to be with his Lord, and how he stepped out of the boat into the sea. But when he took his eyes from Jesus and looked down at the heaving waves, he became afraid. He thought to himself, "This is impossible, isn't it? I can't walk on water, can I?" And in his fear, he cried out to Jesus. Now the storm and the waves have always been seen as a picture of a way of the life of faith. Faith is always surrounded by a storm and waves. Think of the storms of temptations. Temptation to give in to sin. And temptations are powerful. They know how to find your weak spots, the unprotected parts of your life, and then they try to push their way in. Sometimes the same spot, but sometimes a different spot. Temptation to sin, to think or do sinful things, or not to do good things. Once the temptation is allowed in, it comes back again and again and again. It lodges its way in more and more deeply into your life and becomes harder and harder for us to resist. And then we might think, "I'm so addicted to that sin, I'll never be able to resist that temptation when it comes again." The storm and waves of the sea can also represent oppression, opposition from people because of what you stand for as a believer. Others can push you aside, negate you, bully you, maybe even fire you from your job because of what you believe. The pressure can be enormous. Think of people who have been imprisoned and tortured to death for their faith. And when you hear about what happens to Christians, for instance in China or North Korea or in some African countries, then you ask yourself, would I be able to endure that if that happened to me? I'm afraid I'd break under the pressure to give up faith in Jesus. The storm and the waves on the sea could also signify testing and chastisement. So not what others do to you, but what God allows to happen to you or to your loved ones. Serious sickness, mental illness, worries about your finances or your work, or about your relationships. God can give you heavy burdens to bear sometimes. And then that can make you think, I can't handle this. I can't keep believing in God's love with all this going on in my life. Well, congregation, Peter became afraid when he saw the storm around him and the waves under his feet. And then he began to sink, and he cried out to Jesus in fear. In spite of the fact that Jesus had just said to him and the other disciples, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." In congregation, that's little faith then. You know what the Lord says in His Word. But you see the storms and waves of temptation or opposition or testing, and you become afraid. You figure you can't handle it then. That you're going to sink away from the Lord. Unbelief overcomes faith then. The flame of your faith is becoming extinguished by fear and unbelief. But there is still a spark of faith with Peter, because he cries out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." But his heart is filled with fear. Maybe you've experienced that too. You confess your life is in Jesus' care, but in turmoil or trouble, you're afraid. You can't keep your faith anymore. Unbelief smothers your faith so that it's hardly there anymore. The thing is, faith becomes little when the attention wanders away from the Lord Jesus and focuses on circumstances. Little faith always lets itself be led by the visible, tangible circumstances. You end up focusing on the storm and the waves instead of Jesus. And then you become taken up by those circumstances instead of being taken up by Jesus' power and promise. Well, it's true that circumstances can sometimes give you a false sense of peace when everything is good and it's going well. You feel good, health is good, nice income, relationships are good. There's no trials in your life. You're doing fine. But that can be a test too, brothers and sisters. Then your faith can become little because it's based on those circumstances. So peace and prosperity can take one's attention away from Jesus too. And the Lord can bring something into your life to bring His promises back into focus. But thinking about our text, we see anxiety and fear take over due to circumstances. You let yourself be led by circumstances instead of by the Lord, His Word. And if the circumstances, such as temptations, opposition, chastisement, can be described as a storm and big waves, then you can certainly become afraid, just like Peter did. And that fear of what you're dealing with can almost extinguish the flame of your faith, so there's just a little spark left. Little faith. No, congregation, that little faith is still faith. Peter, with his little faith, still cried out, "Lord, save me, help me." So, little faith is still faith. Little faith is still called to make public profession of faith, young people. And little faith is still called to come to the table of the Lord after self-examination. The thing is, though, little faith never likes being little. Little faith never wants to stay little. If it's even as little as a grain of a mustard seed, it wants to grow big. That's how it is with mustard seed. And that's how it is with little faith, too. You want to grow in your faith so that no circumstances in life will make you uncertain or afraid anymore. You want to be able to give your doubts and fears over to the Lord Jesus. Again, congregation, little faith always wants to become great faith. It's not natural for any believer to be satisfied with just a little faith. To say to yourself, at least I believe, even if I only have little faith, I think it's enough, just enough for me to be saved. That would be a completely wrong way of thinking, wouldn't it? No, little faith, at least if it's not total unbelief, will always want to become greater, to become great faith. It wants to be more and more fixated on the Lord Jesus. We come to the last point of the sermon, the lesson for us today. Faith always wants us to concentrate on Jesus. Great faith wants us to embrace Him as closely as possible. Little faith wants to embrace Jesus too, but then tentatively, with lots of fear. Peter cried out to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Did He right away still the storm and the waves? No. Note that He only did that after He brought Peter back into the boat. Maybe we'd like that when we call out to Jesus, that He'd still the storm and the waves in our lives, take away our temptations, the trials, the pressures, that He would change our circumstances, take away what caused our fears. But that's not what Jesus shows that He does in our text. No, He reaches out His hand in the middle of the storm and grabs hold of Peter with a little faith. And you might wish that Jesus would be there too, physically, to reach out His hand to you in difficult circumstances too, and take hold of you. But brothers and sisters, He does. Not physically today as with Peter, but just as real. He does that by His word and the sacraments. He reaches out to you with His spiritual hands via His promises to you in word and sacraments in His church. And He grabs hold of you that way. Maybe you notice that in worship, He reaches out and takes a hold of your heart. He says in His word, "Here I am. My promise of forgiveness and new life are certain, and they're for you." And at the Lord's Supper, He holds out the bread and wine, which represent His broken body and shed blood, His sacrifice for all your sins. And then the things that cause you fear aren't necessarily all taken away right away. But He will strengthen your faith again, so you realize again that He is there for you as the true bread of life. And He's much greater than your fears and anxieties. Congregation, John Calvin writes somewhere that faith is open ears and closed eyes. The eyes need to be closed to the storm and the waves going on in your life. In other words, closed to your difficult circumstances and open to His word. And then your circumstances won't determine your peace and joy in life. But what you hear the Lord saying to you in word and sacrament does. Hearing His promises to forgive your sins and renew you, that He intercedes for you too, those things give you rest and peace, even when the storm and the waves are still there crashing around you. He never casts out anyone who comes to Him confessing his or her own helplessness. He is faithful and will give perseverance and faith. As the one who overcame sin and death, He has that power. That's what faith actually is, congregation. Eyes shut, ears open. In other words, trust what the Lord says in His word and in the sacraments that you know more and more that He has your life in His hands. Faith says that in spite of the storm and the waves you experience, the Lord will take care of you. Will let things turn out good for you. You maybe still experience temptations and trials and persecutions then, but you trust that you'll be okay with them. You don't see the storms then, but you hear His loving promises. That's great faith. But little faith is when faith becomes smothered by doubt or anxiety or fear. Congregation, the thing we can learn from our text is that those two, great faith and little faith, can easily switch around in us. You see that with Peter. He swung his feet overboard, carefully placed one foot on the water and then the other. He took one step and then another. He had pretty great faith to do that. But then he began to listen to the storm and to look at the heaving water under his feet. And then he forgot the voice of Jesus, which had just said to him, "Come." And then he began to sink. Doubts and fright overcame his great faith, and it became little faith. And that happens so easily. And so you can never say, that person has great faith, and that other person over there has little faith, because that faith can change in a minute. Great faith isn't something that you have and that's it. And little faith isn't something that you have and that's it either. No, faith requires constant exercising to become greater. Little faith, if it's really faith, wants to become great faith. And great faith wants to remain great faith. Faith constantly needs to be fed the gospel, the promises of the word, if it's going to become and remain great faith. And it keeps needing to be confirmed and strengthened by the sacraments, and especially also for us to be prayed for. So, you learn to listen to the sound of Jesus' voice your whole life long. His voice which calls you to follow him in spite of everything. Until one day when the Lord will call each one of us for the last time. No one knows when that will be. Whether suddenly in the strength of life or after a sickness. Then Jesus will stand on the other side of the water of the raging Jordan River. The river that needs to be crossed to get into the promised land. And he'll call out, "Come! Come over through those stormy waters of death and judgment." And there would be lots of reason to be afraid if you focus on those waters, on God's judgment, and on your passing out of this life. You'd think that you would sink under those things. But when that time comes, to focus on hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus, and then through the storm and the waves, you'll certainly set foot in that promised land, in the place where faith becomes glorious sight. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, thank you for being able to open your word and worship you and offer our praises this morning. We pray that your Spirit will work faith in the hearts of all of us, young and old, growing in faith. Faith that doesn't focus on the circumstances, but instead on the promises of Christ. Great faith, in other words. We know that we do not have perfect faith, and that every day we have to contend with the weaknesses of our faith. Our faith still so easily becomes little faith. But when it becomes little, Father, help us not to be satisfied with that little faith, but help our faith to grow great again. Because little faith doesn't like being little, but wants to be great. Help us in the fight of faith. Help us to be faithful in listening to your word, and to also be faithfully present when the sacraments are celebrated. And in all circumstances, let us be assured that our Savior is interceding for us at your right hand, so that our faith may not fail. Help us to keep the message of this morning in our hearts as we leave here, and bring us back round to the truth which stands above all this afternoon again. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who always lives to intercede for us. Amen.